will be ministering by Nairobi. We'll be training 500 pastors there, and they'll be averaging 7,000 each night in our crusades. Then we go to Western Kenya, and people from Uganda, Tanzania, Congo, et cetera, are coming in. We're going to train 1,000 pastors, and they expect 25,000 to 30,000 each night in the crusades. So the biggest crowd we've ever ministered to. It had to be God. I don't know what to do with that many people. Amen. Praise God. But this is God is doing something great. And I appreciate each one of you. And I do want to just share just a little bit of my testimony real fast. Somebody was talking to me about it right before service. As you know, at 18, I volunteered draft. And my wife and I were married between my basic and infantry training. And I'd been 19 years old for 6 weeks when I went into combat the first time in the jungles of Vietnam. And at 18, I wanted to see the world and have some excitement, and I got both. And God let me live. I was far from God, although I knew him as a young child. I was far away. And one time I tripped a booby trap hanging 82 feet from my right leg. It did not explode. The helmet I'm wearing on my website, many of you have seen it. 4 days after that was taken, my helmet tore off in a major battle. It's on the Sid Roth. I'm on the Sid Roth program also. You can look my name up on there and see a reenactment of this. Another time, a mortar round lands in front of me, did not explode. Another time, I walked up on an enemy bunker 15 feet, not yards away, and 5 of the 7 enemy that was in the bunker and 7 chickens were walking in front. I didn't think, well, every man had a chicken. 5 of them stood up on me. I dove behind a termite hill, and God let me live. I was far from God. I thought I was lucky. Years later, I realized the hand of God was up on me. But I come out of the war bound by alcohol, a heavy smoker, rather fight than eat. Now I'd rather eat than fight, too old to fight, too fat to run. Amen. I'm in trouble. Praise God. But at 30 years old, God saved me. He saved my wife. I was on deer stand. I repented with godly sorrow that we'll talk about in a little bit here. And God set me free instantly. Just recently, I saw on a program on TV showing the brain of a person bound by alcohol, the brain of a normal person. And I could not believe all the damage done to the brain. They talk about how long it takes to get the brain back in order, get them off of alcohol, get everything redone. I got to thinking, that was a miracle I didn't realize, because God instantly changed me. As over 40 years ago, never touched another drop. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. They say, what step program did you take? One step to Jesus. And so I appreciate what God is doing here at King's Fire. Like I said, when I was still pastoring, I called Pastor Josh over. I said, I want to ask our people to go to King's Fire when we close down. I really feel that's where I'm supposed to send them. And he said he's really honored. And I was going to go where nobody knew me at all, to some church where nobody knew me, because so many people from here came to our conferences and got healed. He said, no, we don't mind healing. Just come on. Somebody want healing, pray for them. Said, okay, I've been at home ever since. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I appreciate the PA people. Y'all did not miss. That's Texas English, y'all. Paul used it too. He said, y'all, in Scripture. But you didn't miss one. I just forgot to call it out to you. No problem. So let's go to our number one slide, or whatever we call it. And let's go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 and 5. I've got to hurry. Pastor Chris said I only could minister to 2 today. Just kidding. I used to say, I got my 4-hour message. Everybody looked like they're going to rise. I'm just joking. No, I'll try to be honor the time limits. Amen. I was recently in a conference in Michigan, and the service started at 7 p.m. The night service started at 7 p.m. and ended at 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning. Amen. And when you see me falling asleep in church here, it's not because I'm bored or anything. It's because I'm being healed of sleep apnea. So no matter who's speaking, I'll fall over. A couple weeks ago, I knew it fell on Lou. He said, I just listened over. I caught myself. Pastor Chris was preaching. I'm in midair there. Amen. So it's not that I'm bored at all, please, but I'll stay awake when I'm preaching. It's okay. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. And we'll be talking about the blood of Jesus today. But I need to explain something about the iniquity of the fathers to you. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the 3rd and 4th generation of those who hate me. And so you see the drawing up there. And to your left there, picture that those are all like clear glasses. And the colors kind of came out a little funny here. But picture that glass on your left as being filled with milk. And there's no sin in drinking milk, although I'm trying to drink other stuff now, like almond, coconut, all that stuff. Amen. I eat meat about once a week now. I'm working on it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's that fried chicken that tempts me. I'll be going to the buffet after the service. You know, Apostle Paul had a buffet in spirit, the Bible said. Oh, that was a buffet in spirit. That's right. I read it wrong again. Amen. So anyway, picture that filled with milk. There's nothing wrong with drinking milk. But in this illustration, milk represents sin. You drink the milk or pour it out. There's a residue on the side of the glass. If you've ever taken a dirty milk glass filled with clean, clear, cool water and drank it, it's just nasty because the residue taints it. Okay, the Bible said the iniquity of the fathers is visited the third and fourth generation. And a lot of people think the word sin and the word iniquity is the same word, but it's different words in the Bible, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek. The word iniquity is a Hebrew word avon. And that has to do with perversity, evil. That word iniquity is that residue on the side of the glass. The word for sin is chataha, which is a sin. That's the act. So I could use adultery or fornication, but let's use the father was a chicken thief. He was stealing his neighbor's chickens. Okay? And so that does not mean his son, sons, daughters, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, or great-great-grandchildren have to be chicken thieves. But every one of them, see that little drawing on the side of the glass? Every one of them will have the iniquity of the father, which means they're going to have a propensity, if you would, a great temptation to commit those sins. And so they may be walking by their neighbor's chicken yard one day and their mouth starts watering and they say Kentucky Fried. You know, they start thinking about that and they're being tempted. Where if they did not have that iniquity, they would not be tempted on that sin like that. It could be drinking, smoking, doping, adultery, fornication, homosexuality. It could be anything. But it's passed to the third and fourth generation. And so a lot of people don't realize how much their serving God faithfully affects their children. But see that it's supposed to be a red line drawn through a little cross on top. The blood of Jesus will cut through and cut off the iniquity of the fathers. But just like healing, we've seen now over 12,000 miracles verified. And he's a healer. It's all brought to you by my sponsor, Jesus Christ. Amen. But we've seen over 12,000 miracles, but do you know how many Christians do not know that Jesus is a healer? We pastored 33 years and never one person ever died of cancer in our assembly. We do not believe in it. Several got it, but they all got healed. Amen. I tell people that they look at me like I'm crazy, but just ask around. Amen. And so a lot of Christians don't know healing's available, though it is. And they don't know breaking off the iniquity of the father is available. You know stories of people that have adopted children. That's a wonderful thing to do. But when you adopt a child, the first thing you need to do is get down next to that child and pray that the iniquity of the father is cut off. Because you don't know what's coming down the pike. You don't know what's coming down the bloodline. And you know stories that, oh, that sweet little child, suddenly you're a teenager. It's like there's a monster in the house because iniquity of the father kicked in. And so break it by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And so iniquity is that residue. The sin is the act, the actual act. It could be adultery. It could be drugs. And we know that environment affects us a little bit. But the iniquity of the father is like natural heredity. Your hair color, your eye color, your skin color. I was preaching one time up north from here, and I talked about, you know, some of the family have long noses. I looked over, and the whole family looked like beaks. I said, oh, no, I should have never said that, you know. But anyway, your hair color, your skin color, your eye color, whether you have freckles or not, is a natural heredity. You understand that. But the spiritual and the physical parallel close together. When I teach people how to operate in the spirit realm, I teach them that between the natural and the supernatural, there's a fine membrane. And once you learn, you step right across. I could use an example here. I did it at Gil's house a while back. I said, okay, everybody with a baptism of the Holy Spirit speaks in tongues. Just start speaking in tongues right now, and they all start speaking in tongues. And I said, how easy was that? Oh, that was easy. Because you believe you could, and you stepped through that. You stepped into the supernatural. Amen? Once you learn you can do that, you can step into and begin to see in the spirit, see in the human body. My wife sees more angels than I do. Amen. You can see things in the spirit realm. Amen. Once you learn that the natural and the supernatural parallel each other. I have a whole lesson I teach on that. I don't know if Pastor Don's ever been in my class with him, may or may not. I don't know. But I draw the eyes, the hands, the nose, everything on there. But the thing is, it's powerful. And so, break that by the blood of Jesus. Praise God. Okay, let's go to number two. That's up there. It's not your number two, it's theirs. Okay, we know that in the beginning God created Adam from the dust of the earth, breathed his nostrils the breath of life. He became a living soul. Okay? And you see that line around supposed to be blood. Red, it's kind of reddish brown from here to me. Let's see through my eyes, but that's blood. In other words, that's the eye of God up there. I used to draw them without the eyelashes. My wife said, "No, you need to put eyelashes on them." For some reason, and sometimes I draw. Anyway, the eye of God looks down at Adam. It looks through precious blood, and there's no sense of death. Okay, and so we see that. And then let's go to the third one, please. Later, God says, not good for a man to be alone. He put Adam in a deep sleep. Remember that word, deep sleep, because we're going to be there later in the lesson. He put Adam in a deep sleep, and from his side, his rib, he created Eve, his bride. As you know, most of the blood is formed in the rib cage of the body. She is formed from the blood of Adam. But now when they woke up, now, when I teach my marriage class, I said, and Adam woke up, and he said, I'm reading the scripture. He said, wow. I said, no, wow's not there. Never mind. And we seen Eve. But anyway, when they woke up, Eve had eternal life. Where did she get eternal life? For the blood of the first Adam. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us the first man, Adam, was of the earth earthly. The second man, Adam, was the Lord from glory, talking about Jesus Christ. And there's a parallel of this we'll show you in a moment. But see that black fuzzy line going around? The Bible says that the two shall become one flesh. Anytime you're in an intimate relationship with anyone, you become one flesh with that person. Amen? I did not cover it earlier, but that's why sometimes people need to break soul ties. Because they got connections all over the place. Amen? Some of it looked like a high wire's gone bad or something. But anyway, they had that union and they become one flesh. And until they fell, they were covered by that precious blood. But when they sinned, that red line was broken. And a lot of time I'm doing just drawing on board, but I knew a little board wouldn't do it here. And that was broken. So God made a plan. We could go to number four. I try to call the right numbers this time. They follow the numbers and I called the wrong ones last time. It's okay. It worked out. Amen. And so we see that God made a plan. It's a little small. I'm sorry. The eye of God again. He created his son. The Bible said the Holy Spirit was sent to a virgin named Mary. And the body of Christ was conceived. And Jesus got his blood from his heavenly father. Everyone sired by man, born of woman, is born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But Jesus had no sin or iniquity in his blood, because blood came from his heavenly father, Jesus, the Father God, okay? Came from his heavenly father. And so the Father made a plan, and Jesus chose. He did not deserve to die. See, we all deserve to die. And let me say it right now. The only thing that's not under the feet of the church is the first death, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But the second death has no power over us. See, you must either die twice or be born twice. You're born in your mother's womb, but you face natural death. But you also face eternal death, the lake of fire, the Bible says. But if you're born again, born twice, once you're in your mother's womb, born again of God, the second death has no power. So you must be born twice or you have to die twice. Amen. And so God made a plan, and Jesus surrendered to the Father's will, and he gave up his life. And God put him in a deep sleep. Remember that word, deep sleep? A deep sleep on the cross. He died on the cross. And from that side flowed the blood to create the bride of Christ, the church of the living God. Just like the first man, Adam, with his bride, Eve, the second man, Adam, Jesus Christ, the Lord from glory, shed his blood to purchase the body of Christ, you and I. Praise God. Amen. And let's read right now 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so we're bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Remember in the Old Testament, man, there's probably millions of gallons of animal blood that every year, the Day of Atonement, the sins of man was rolled forward 1 year at a time. And a lot of people don't realize, like, you piled up all the sins and they rolled forward to the next year, and then you put all the new sins on top of them at the Day of Atonement. You roll them forward 1 year at a time. And so it must have been huge by the time it got to a place called Golgotha, the cross. And Jesus forgave it all right there. They were not forgiven in atonement of the New Old Testament. They were rolled forward 1 year at a time. It was not until the blood of Jesus. So when Peter would look for a word, he couldn't just say blood, because blood was common back then. See, in our day, people see blood, they get all squeamish. But blood was common in the Old Testament. So he had to look for a word. He called it the precious blood of Christ. Precious. And that's what it is, precious. Praise God. Amen. So let's go to number five, please. Let's try four. I got drawings here, but okay, thank you. I didn't go far enough there. Sorry. Okay, Jesus died on the cross to purchase the body of Christ. See the man on the side? Also, if y'all want to sell my drawings on eBay after this service, you can. I wouldn't wait too long for bids, but see those little spots in his stomach? One time in the Philippines, I drew it like that. I drew a big old stomach, and they all started laughing. I said, "What y'all laughing at?" They're looking at me, you know. But see all the little dots in there? That represents sin. Because we're born in sin and shaping iniquity. And in sin did our mother conceive, as the Bible says. But Jesus shed his blood. Okay, the next one, please. Thank you. And so you see all those dots are gone? And that man's been washed in the blood of Jesus, and now he has that red circle around him. And when the eye of God looks at him, it looks through the blood of his own son. And there's no sentence of eternal death. This is important. I'm going to park here a moment. I'm going to explain a little more. We'll go further. It used to be this is as far as I'd teach on the blood until God revealed more that I'm going to share with you. But the thing is, the eye of God looks down at him and looks through his own blood, and there's no sentence of death. You're hearing me with your head right now, but you must get a spiritual revelation of this. Just like Peter had in Matthew 16, he said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, hey, my Father in heaven revealed that to you. It's not a natural revelation. You hear me in the natural now, but you need a spiritual revelation that when God looks at you, it looks through his blood, and there's no sentence of eternal death. I'm here to tell you that you have no past. You have no skeletons in your closet. We're going to read the word justified in Scripture in a few minutes, but the word justified means just as if it never happened. We could go back to the courthouse and find someone that got in a lot of trouble with the law, and then they came to God. You could pull their rap sheet and be full of everything they ever did. But that's not the way it is with the spirit realm. You pull your rap sheet, there's nothing on it. You have no past. There's no skeletons in your closet. There's nothing there. It's just as if it never happened. But you need a spiritual revelation of that. See, I come out of war. I know it's war, and it wasn't like going out murdering, but it's war. I had a lot of blood on my hands, a lot of hate, a lot of bitterness, a lot of bloodlust. I began to like what I was doing over there. I looked for the next fight. I loved it. I was crazy, I guess, but I loved it. But yet, I have no past. Amen? I have no past. We were listening to a program the other day, and a woman said, my husband went to war. I kissed him goodbye, and a stranger came home. I told my wife, I said, I'm all choked up. I choked up. Right? I sat on my couch. I said, man. Then later someone said, yeah, he came home for war, but the war followed him. But thank God I have no past. Amen. I have no past. See, I'm talking about stuff other people can't talk about from war. Amen. Did I go through? Oh, yeah. Check my record. Put my DD-214. You'll find out. But the thing is, I'm free. The pain is gone. If you cut your arm, it gets infected, everybody bumps it. But once it heals, no one bumps it. If there's a place in your life that somebody can touch that spot, you're not healed yet. Amen? It's something you can't talk about because you're not healed yet. And there's something you can just talk to God about and he'll take care of and it's all okay. But if you don't get over it like that, you need to go to the pastoral staff and find who to talk to and sit down with someone and talk to another human being. And James 5, confess your faults to them and get set free. If you can do it on your own, that's fine. But if it don't work, go to someone. Because you got some pride problems got to break. And something's going to break in you when you have to sit down and tell Pastor Don, you know what I did? I stole them chickens from my neighbor again. I couldn't help it. I was so hungry. Amen. I said fried chicken is my weakness. Amen. But anyway, get that spiritual revelation of the blood of Jesus. Now, I used to teach you there and stop. It's very powerful. But then one time in Cambodia about a little bit over 20 years ago, I'm teaching on this. I turn around and look. I was teaching a whole group, 45, 50 Vietnamese ministers. And God showed me five people committing adultery. And I was like the rookie there then. I've been 21 times to Cambodia, Vietnam now. And this is my 36th missionary trip. My wife and I used to say 2 and 3 months at a time when my son was with me. We didn't want to come home. People come to the church a couple weeks at a time to visit, minister with us. We're open to that. They said, Pastor, you need to go home. I was eating too many crazy things. Amen. But the thing is, I turned back around to the whiteboard. I said, Lord, what do I do with this? The Holy Spirit gave me a vision in the scripture, 1 Corinthians 6. You start turning there. And we'll put up number 6 on the, I think it's number 6. I'll check it when you do it. Yeah, that's it. That's the one I missed last time. I gave you the wrong number. It wasn't your fault. But God gave me a vision of this in 1 Corinthians 6 and told me how to use it to continue to draw. It was one of the real big whiteboards. And continue to draw about the blood of Jesus and how the blood of Jesus and certain sins cannot come together and how that works. I never understood. Nobody ever taught me this. But I've been ministering over 20 years, and God has set so many people free. And one time my wife and I was at the church, and a friend of mine wanted to come visit and bring his girlfriend he met on a Christian dating site. Before they got out of the parking lot, my wife and I both, boom, they're in fornication. And brought him in and taught him. Before it was over 12 o'clock at night, they're all on the floor of the church, crying, screaming. Amen. Amen. That happens to us. I'd call people in that was singing in the choir and teaching Sunday school. I said, if I'm wrong, God forbid me, but I feel like you're in fornication. They put their head down, yeah, I am. Over and over. one lady, every weekend she has someone new in her bed downtown. And we got tried to get her set free, but she didn't repent because I picked up the demons in her. I knew she had them. My son-in-law was the first service with us. He saw a black arm come out around and wrap around her out of the wall. And I was discerning the demons some ways I do. Amen. I said, you got to leave. Amen. But the thing is, our heart is to restore them. But they will not be restored. Like, bless God, I'm just going to live like I want to. Paul said, you can't leave that in the church. He said, that man's committing sins and not named among the Gentiles in Corinthians. He said, put him out of your assembly, turn him over, Satan, pull your spiritual cover off and let the enemy come after him. Maybe he'll get right with God. That's what he said. I didn't say it. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 6. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Talk moving faster than me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now what did he say? The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Or there's some unrighteous. He's getting ready to tell you who they are. And before we go in there, let me tell you that he's saying they can't go to heaven. Period. Okay, I don't care what greasy grace out there tells you. I run into people in this city that say, oh, they say because Jesus died on the cross, I can live any way I want to, and it's okay, I'm going to go to heaven. That's a lie from the very pit of hell. I believe in the grace of God. The grace of God that brings salvation appear to all men, teaches denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live righteously, godly in this present world. That's what the Bible says. Grace teaches. Grace delivers you. Amen. And so, we see the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And let me say that the sins that are going to list here, you'll find in the Old Testament under the law of Moses. And those sins, there was no atonement. They couldn't bring enough animals or enough grain, enough pigeons or doves or anything to atone for. Those sins could not be atoned for. They took them out of the camp and stoned them to death. There's probably people in here that say, thank God that I'm in the New Testament. Amen. Because we're going to find out there's good news in here. But in the Old Testament, they stoned to death. My personal feeling is, I believe those sins all had demonic spirits in there. In the Old Testament, demons were not cast out. It was not until Jesus Christ came on the scene. And demons began to cry out, you come to torment me before my time. But in the Old Testament, they were not cast out. And I believe the reason they had to be killed is so they would not propagate them in sexual unions to other people. That's Cordo 3-8. That's my opinion. But you will find the Bible, they're not cast out in the Old Testament. Those people are killed. So this same list we're going to read in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul and as many other places in Scripture, he said they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. They're not going to heaven. I don't care who told them what. See, we've got to go back to the book. And there's good news there. Don't worry. Don't feel bad. Okay, verse 9 again. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Note that. Do not be. How many people do you know deceived? Well, somebody told me it's okay. There's someone that we love dearly down in another state. We confronted a while back. They was committing fornication. Set this person down. And they loved my wife and I. We're very close. And you know what their answer was? Everybody doesn't. No, everybody don't do it. And I took her to this scripture. She began to weep. Everybody don't do it. Amen. Okay, let me keep reading. I just want to make sure. Yeah, I hope you have a Bible following. You know, when I was in school, we went to history class. We brought a history book. We go to church, I bring a Bible. It may be on the phone. You don't want me to use one on the phone. I get so mixed up, I don't know where I'll be. I'm a little challenged in those areas. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. He's getting ready to list it. Now, I didn't list this. He did. The Word of God. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Here comes the good news, verse 11. But such were some of you, but you were washed, But you are sanctified. Here comes that word I told you. But you are justified, just as if it never happened, by the name of the Lord Jesus, by the Spirit of our God. In other words, you didn't have to get stoned to death in the New Testament. They're not going to take you out of, off the church property and kill you. But you have to turn from the sin. And we'll talk about that more in a moment. But it said you're justified. Just if you'll come to God and repent with godly sorrow and change your ways. If you're stealing your neighbor's chickens, as we said a while ago, you can't keep stealing your neighbor's chickens. Say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And keep stealing them. You know, your stomach getting big from all that fried chicken. It make me hungry to think about it. So I'll be at an Asian buffet in a little while. Amen. I said, I told you a while ago, I got that buffet in spirit. Okay. Okay, verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy both it and them. Now listen to this. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now let's stop there just one moment. See up here where I'm drawing? The drawing I did, that's Jesus, the head of the church in heaven. That line, that blue line is supposed to be above that, the heavenlies. Jesus, the head of the church. And then the little figures inside, they're all in the blood of Jesus. They're all covered by the blood of Jesus. That's the members of the body of Christ. And so we're members of the body of Christ. And it said the body is not for sexual immorality, but for Christ. We're in a minute that we're with him one. We're one with him. And let me point out something. Jesus in the body of Christ, the head and the body is totally connected. There's been many people who try to take my head from my body, but so far it's still hooked on. Amen? I think it's still here. And it's not a joke either. But anyway, the thing is, we're totally connected to Jesus. We used to sing them old songs years ago, come by here, Lord, come by here. Really what it's saying is manifest here, because there's no place God is not. There's angels in here. When my angels started manifesting, they started manifesting the gills a while back in there about burning everybody out of the house. I know Jason working today. He said, man, I don't say much, but, man, there's heat swirling around and around. Something going around. One of the men in there, I pray for him. He said, I see Jesus standing in front of me. People are having face-to-face experiences with Jesus today. Read your Bible. How many times did Jesus appear face-to-face after the resurrection? Just read the Bible. He appeared to me in 202. I had 30% of people healed in my healing ministry then. And he told me, David, it's never my will for my children to die of sickness and disease. Face to face, I'm talking to him. And suddenly, John 10:10 hit me. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And the very next day, I went to 80 and 85% in one night for one revelation from Jesus Christ himself personally. And now, as I told you earlier, is 98% instant miracles. I've never preached healing here yet. But when I preach healing, I tear down strongholds erected by religion. You realize faith comes on you in 98% plus. Many times in our meetings, 100% are healed of everybody who comes forward. Instant miracle. If you're studying the Bible, I didn't realize a couple years ago, but in Jesus' ministry that's recorded in Scripture, about 98% of his ministry that's recorded, we know he did many other things, are instant miracles. About 2% are divine healing. Go show yourself to the priest. Go wash. I didn't realize it. Just something God did. It's a sovereign move of God. I didn't want a special prayer, a special fast. Suddenly he started doing that. That's over 8 years ago. It's been one, ever since then, it's been total. Okay, and that's him. I'm talking about his mighty acts, not me. It says, the last part, 12, now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord for the body. And God, verse 14, God both raised up the Lord and also raised us up by his power. Verse 15, do you not know your bodies are members of Christ? That's us in there. That's us under the blood of Jesus. Don't you know your body is a member of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of harlots? Harlot, certainly not. The old King James said, God forbid. The lady with the bad hair today, that's the harlot out there. Okay? And I'm just using the man inside, the lady outside, because that's the way Paul wrote it. It could be either way, okay? I understand. It could be the lady inside, the man outside with the bad hair day. And I should say bad hair day, huh? Kim's here. Okay. And so, shall I make it marry the harlot? Certainly not. Verse 16, or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For two, he says, shall become one flesh. Remember that one flesh? But he who is joined to the Lord in one spirit with him, that's us in the body of Christ. Verse 18, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. And that own body, not just our body, that's the body of Christ. That sin is done outside the body. You cannot do that in the body of Christ. I'll show you in a minute on the drawing. Just finish reading and then we'll finish up here on this part. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? For you're bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And that's something I didn't point out earlier. That last will glorify God in your body and spirit. A lot of people say, well, God knows my heart. He knows I love him and everything. It don't matter what my body does. Yes, it does. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, on your outside and on your insides. Okay? That's what it says. And so it says, can I take a member of the body of Christ and let me join the harlot? See that harlot out there? It is, everybody follow me close. It is an impossibility to bring her into the body of Christ and commit that sin. Impossibility. Oh, people doing that may be sitting on the church chairs, but they're not in the body of Christ. They're not going to heaven. If they die, they're going to hell in a heap. I don't want to be too plain, but you know how it is. So it's an impossibility to bring her in the body of Christ and commit that sin. If you could, you'd be saying, Jesus, commit that sin with that woman. Jesus is not going to do it. That sin is against his body. There's a lot of divine immunity. I believe a lot of the things in the Old Testament that could be atoned for, there's a divine immunity. You're not going to hell over those things. I talked about earlier, if you get a speeding ticket, you may broke the law of the land and sin technically, but you're not going to hell over it. You know, you may get a civil fine. You may have an accident. You may lose your license for a while. And I talk about sometimes there have been times in my life I've known people, their motorcycle get up over 100 miles an hour on Old Kings Highway. And I don't do that in my Harley. I did that in my Yamaha. You do that in a couple of seconds. Boom, boom. You'd be up and down, back to normal. What are you talking about, speed? Look, I'm okay in the car, but sometimes a cycle does something to me. Amen. I bought me a Softail Harley a while back. We're having our late life crisis. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's go to the number 6 or 7. Whichever one, this is not the next one. That's it. Thank you. Okay, so that man has to be, see the X? He's got to leave the body of Christ and go out there and commit a sexual sin with that harlot. And see that black line around? The two, says he, we read it again in 1 Corinthians 6 here, become one flesh. They're one. Or everything she is and everything he is, now they're one. People pick up a lot more than just sexual disease. They pick up a lot of spirits, etc., I believe, by committing sexual sins. And I've seen it. I've told them earlier, I've laid hands on tongue-talking, baptized men and seen black demons run out the back of the church. I lay hands on people that's supposed to be Christians and seen like covey of blackbirds that fly out of them as demons left. Amen. Amen. Not only overseas, but in the U.S. And we worked some high-level witchcraft in Asia. I think one reason God brought me in New York from Texas just to train me in the spirit world that we would meet in Asia. I mean, there's some crazy stuff going on out there. And I don't have time to get into all that. But the thing is, he becomes one flesh with her. And as you see all the little lines of the X's, we understand physical diseases, sexual diseases that he may have caught and gave to her, she may have caught and gave to him. But I also believe that there's spirits involved and that she can pick up spirits, and he could pick up spirits from each other. Okay? And this is a dangerous thing. And people don't realize this sometimes. Amen. And so, can we go to number, I'm going to jump all the way to number 8 there. And go to 1 Corinthians 7. I see my time is going faster than me. I may pay for a couple of minutes extra. By indulgences. No. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 14. I'm just going to go through this quick. I got one other thing I want to share real quick. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But now they are holy. That don't mean the child going to heaven because one parent is. What it's talking about is iniquity of the father. You see, these two, they get married. They're both sinners. The Bible said don't be unequally yoked. They should not even be romantically involved if they're not both believers. And I always tell people, check with your pastor before you ever get romantically involved with anyone who even look twice. Man, there's so many times when we had a lot of young men in our church. I called like a pastor friend down in Newburgh. Said, one of the young men here interested in that young lady. He said, you better tell him run. She's in witchcraft. You know, because that pastor knows. Amen. You want protection? Be protected. Amen. Hey, there's safety in multitude of counsel. So they get married, and suddenly the young lady, in this case, she comes to God. Now she's covered by the blood of Jesus. And it's time to have children. He may be a fornicator. He may be a bank robber. He may be everything else you can imagine out there, full of sin and iniquity. But when that seed leaves his body, see the black seed leaving? Before it can enter her body, it's got to cross the bloodline of Jesus. And the iniquity of the fathers is cut off. That's why I tell parents, if your husband or wife leaves God, don't you leave God. You're covering those children a lot more than you think you do. Up to a certain age. I won't even go to that right now. And so that's very, very important. And as I close, I mentioned briefly, let's just turn to Romans 1 real fast. I got two whole minutes. I mentioned this earlier, and I didn't read it. You can read the others. But in Romans 1, there's three steps of a digression going down. And they're right there, black and white in Scripture. What I didn't mention earlier, sometimes they happen in three generations. Sometimes they happen in one generation. But it's three steps going down. The first step, in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifested to them, but God has shown it to them. This is talking about believers. This is not talking about ranked sinners. This is talking about believers that will not retain the knowledge of God. Is that I know what to do, but I ain't coming to church. I don't care what you, I don't need that. I need it. I pastored 33 years, missionary work all over the world. Every time I'm in town, I'm in the door. If I'm not, Pastor Josh knows where I'm at and why. I don't just disappear. I need to be under authority. I am. I'm a man of authority and a man under authority. I don't just disappear. Amen. It's important. Okay, verse 21, because though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And foolish hearts were dark, and professed to be wise, became fools. Now notice, they knew God. This is people that knew God. Knew better. Okay? That's the first step. They knew God, but they did not want to retain him in their knowledge. Okay, the next step down, verse 23. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave. Okay, let's stop there. That was idolatry. They begin to be idolatry. An idol is more than a little icon on the wall. It could be a job, a hobby, a person, someone that you'll give up. You quit serving God to have them. You violate the things of God to have them. Okay, so that's the first step. They did not want to retain God, their knowledge. The second step, they became idolatrous. Okay, the third step down, I'm glad you asked, 24. Therefore, God, everybody say God, gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their own bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passion. Everybody say God again. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned their lusts one for another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Even as they did not like to retain God their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving. Sound like our newspaper. Unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, and those who practice such things are deserving of death, deserving of eternal death. Not only do they do the same, but they also approve of those who practice it. Oh, it's okay. God understands you want a shack. No, God knows you're going to hell. Let's all stand right now. Let's all stand right now. Let's pray a prayer of repentance. I went 2 minutes over. God forgive me. Can I go to heaven, Pastor Don? No, I'm picking on y'all. Pastor Chris, can I go ahead? Okay, but anyway, ask God to forgive you with godly sorrow. I mentioned earlier, a lot of times if you have little children, your little child gets in a mud hole, gets their good clothes dirty, and they get in trouble. They're very sorry. They cry. They got caught. They're not sorry they did it. When you turn your back, they're back in a mud hole. I've worked in jails and prisons. I told them that even in Napanock Eastern Prison, the maximum security, we've had healing miracle crusades a year apart years ago, and 100% blind man, and each one received their sight totally. Cancer disappeared, tumors disappeared, deaf ears popped open, and religion shut us down. Okay? Somebody in their religious ran and said, oh no, we don't believe that you can be blessed when you sow. We don't preach that, so get away, and they blocked it. You know, that's probably 15 years ago. I wonder how many people died of cancer in that prison since then because we couldn't go in and heal them. Think about it. It's important. And so we've worked in the prison, the jail system. And let me say right now, anyone that's been in there, I want you to know something. I believe with everything in me, the Bible talks about the whole earth is growing for a manifestation of sons of God. I believe God's getting ready to raise up people that's come out of prisons and jails and other situations that fear not man and fear not demons. Going to raise them up as mighty warriors in this last day because they're fighters. They're going to take people like me to come out of war, out of combat, out of battle to use because we'll go places other people won't go. We'll speak things other people won't speak. God is looking to raise up mighty warriors in the spirit. Amen. No matter what you've been through. So right now I ask you to ask God to forgive you. Many in the prison system are sorry they got caught, but around 83% are back in, usually in a short time. When you godly sorrow, you say, God, I'm sorry for that sin. Forgive me. If you're shacking up, Jesus or the woman caught in the act of adultery can say, go and sin no more. Then say, go and stay with your sugar daddy, your mommy, sugar mommy. And they take care of your financially. When you get on your feet, you can move your own. He didn't say that. He said, go and sin no more. Get out of that bed. Get out of that house. So ask God. Let's pray right now. If you don't need forgiveness, pray anyway. Make the ones that are next to you and they'll feel a little bit better. Just in your own words, ask God to forgive you of sin if you're in that sin. Ask him to set you free.